Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. This is Pastor Steve Atwood, and I want to thank you for tuning in today, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. Our program is called Understanding Your Bible, and we call it that for a reason. The only purpose in this broadcast is to give you information whereby you might be able to better understand the Word of God. Many people feel like the Bible is hard and difficult to understand, and yet I believe that by applying some very simple principles, you can really understand the Word of God, and you can understand it to the extent that it can have a great impact on your life. And that's what our desire is for each of you and for all of the body of Christ, is that we would take the Word of God, hide it in our heart, and allow it to work in us and to bring forth fruit in us. We believe that one of the primary principles in studying the Bible is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And as we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, we want to share with you each week on the broadcast some things that differ from in the Scriptures that are many times confusing to people. Last week, we talked about 1 John 1:9 and much of the confusion that surrounds that verse of Scripture. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And yet, Paul said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. And in Colossians 2:13, he said that He has forgiven us all trespasses. So the truth is that when you look at all three of those verses, that they don't say the same thing. John said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us all trespasses, all sins. And yet Paul said they're already forgiven. So what's the answer to that? Well, the answer is rightly dividing the word of truth. And last week we showed how that if factor was always involved in the salvation for the nation Israel. Back under the law, he said, if you will do this, if you perform, then these will be the blessings that you will receive. And we went all through the Scriptures and looked at those things, including Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus said, if you forgive men trespasses against you, then your Heavenly Father will forgive your trespasses. So there was always an if factor involved with the nation Israel's salvation. Not so with the church, the body of Christ. The only if that's involved in salvation with the church, the body of Christ, is if you believe. If you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's already done all the work that needs to be done. Your sins are forgiven. And all that God asks of you is simply to accept the free gift of salvation that He's provided through His Son, Jesus Christ, when He died at the cross. Now today, once again, we want to continue to look at some differences between Paul's epistles and the Hebrew epistles. And again, we're going to be in 1 John. We're going to start in 1 John chapter 2. Now, when I talk about the differences, you need to understand that your Bible is laid out in a very perfect manner. For example, you've got the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. Then you've got the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that outline for us the first coming of Jesus Christ, His life upon the earth, His earthly ministry, His death, burial, and resurrection, and His commission to the 12 to carry out the ministry that He taught them to carry out during those books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the first part of Acts, we have that 12 carrying out the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ taught them to carry out. And they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that is, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. But you get over to Acts chapter 9, and you find there the salvation of a man named Saul. Later, his name is changed to Paul. For a few chapters there in Acts, Acts 9 through 15, you see both Peter and Paul mentioned. But after Acts 15, Peter is no longer on the scene as far as the Scriptures are concerned. You never hear another word about Peter in the book of Acts until it's all about Paul. Then you get to the end of the book of Acts, and the next 13 epistles in your Bible are Romans through Philemon. And those are the epistles that are written by our apostle, the Apostle Paul. After that, the next epistle is the epistle of Hebrews. That Hebrew epistle is written to Hebrews. That's not hard to figure out. But those books after Hebrews, you have James, you have 1st and 2nd Peter, you have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you have Jude, and you have the Revelation written by John. All of those epistles are what we call Hebrew epistles. And if you look at the doctrine in Hebrews through Revelation, what you find is that doctrine matches the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and also the Old Testament doctrine. The difference is that doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first portion of Acts, Acts 1 through 8, and Hebrews through Revelation, all of that is prophetic information. It all deals with some things that were prophesied in the Old Testament. And yet Paul said that he was given the revelation of the mystery which had been kept secret since the world began. And it was not made known until it was made known to the Apostle Paul. So in Paul's epistles, we see some things that differ from the writings of the book of John, for example, and the book of 1 John. And we covered one of those last week, as I've already mentioned, about the forgiveness of sins. Now, there's another doctrine that is in 1 John that when we compare some very basic and simple scriptures, it becomes real evident that this cannot be written to the church, the body of Christ. For example, in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 20, John writing to the little children, as he calls them, he says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." If you skip down to verse 27, I'm in 1 John 2, verse 27. He writes, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." Now, that verse, those two verses there, say very specifically that those people did not need a teacher, a living, breathing, actual teacher. He said, "You have an unction from on high, from the Holy One, and you know all things." Why? "Because the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." Now, there are many people today that claim that anointing of 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. And in doing so, they carry on a very dangerous practice, and that is the practice of saying that God told me to do something. I have the anointing. God, by the Holy Spirit, has told me to do something, and it many times completely conflicts and differs from the Word of God. Let me be very, very clear, and I want you to understand that I believe that the Bible bears out that there is no revelation from God today apart from the Word of God. I do not believe that God today is speaking to individuals apart from His Word. But to compare the Scriptures and to show you how that cannot be written to the church, the body of Christ, all you have to do is look in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, an epistle that Paul wrote, and in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says in verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge, and the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, Paul has just explained in those verses how God today is functioning. That is, among the body of Christ. God has men who are pastors and who are teachers, In an earlier church, there were the prophets and so forth. But Paul said now there are evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and they are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I want somebody to explain to me, please, that if 1 John chapter 2 is written to you and I today in the dispensation of the grace of God, how is it that God's will is that there be pastors and teachers, and yet we need not that any man teach us? That does not make sense. That is contradictory information. Those are contradictory statements, and they are statements that you cannot reconcile apart from rightly dividing the word of truth or simply changing the scriptures and saying, well, it doesn't really mean that. What it means is this. And we don't want to do that because the word of God is pure. The word of God is preserved. It is a perfect word. The Bible says that God has magnified his word above his name. And so we know that we have a book that is without error. And we don't have to change the verses to make them fit our doctrine. All we have to do is believe the verses mean what they say, where they say it, to whom they say it. Now, back in 1 John chapter 2, these verses where he talks about the anointing and so forth, they will match verses back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's look at a couple of those. Look, first of all, in Luke chapter 12, in verse 12, and what we're going to find over here is a very similar statement to that of 1 John. In Luke chapter 12, verse 12, the Bible says this. Well, let's go back up to verse 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogue and into magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. Notice, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. You see, there was an ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit whereby these people learned and understood exactly what they were to say, and they did not have to have the supernatural intervention, or they did have to have the supernatural intervention of the Spirit of God. And that is the anointing that John is talking about in 1 John, where he says that you need not any man teach you. Jesus Christ said that the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, would not come unless he went away. And he said that whenever he comes, he will lead you into all truth. Notice in John chapter 16, in verse 7, he said, nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he, the Holy Spirit, will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So what we have here is a very specific promise in relation to the ministry of the Holy Ghost among the 12 as they are ministering to Israel, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he says, you need not that any man teach you. You don't have to be instructed because you're going to have a supernatural unction, he calls it, an anointing of the Holy Ghost, and he's going to teach you all things. Whereas the Apostle Paul, he said that God has pastors and teachers and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for our edification, for our building up, and so forth. So it's very clear that there's a difference. Consider what happened over in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 1, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the houses where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, exactly what Jesus Christ said would happen. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to what? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, here in Acts chapter 2, not only did the Spirit tell them what to say and speak through them, but the Holy Spirit spoke in a language that could be understood by men of all nations. And it's very important that you understand and realize what Acts chapter 2 is talking about there. It is clear that the tongues were other languages. The tongues were for a very specific time, for a very specific people, and I can say unequivocally, without apology, that those tongues are not in force today. If they are, a man who receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as they call it, would be able to stand up immediately and speak to any person in that of any country, and that person would hear him speak in his own language. What goes on today in the name of tongues is not the tongues of the Bible. It's something completely different. It's something that is man-made, and it's something that is not inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, again, when he's on earth, he makes a very specific promise. In John chapter 14, verse 26, he said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things," notice now, "and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, if we have that promise to us in the dispensation of the grace of God, why would God tell us to study to show ourselves approved unto God? Why would God have pastors and teachers? And you know, I think about this in relation to so many people today that will say, "Well, you're just chopping up the Bible. You don't believe the whole Bible," and those kind of things. And I think about that in relation to the preachers today that say they do believe that all those verses are written to them, and yet they don't practice it. For example, there are men on TV, multitudes of preachers on TV, radio, on the airways, and they will say that 1 John is written to the church, the body of Christ. They'll try to make application of those verses, and yet their ministry on TV and radio is teaching people. And yet the Bible says, John said, "You need not that any man teach you." Jesus said, "He shall teach you, the Holy Ghost shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." Well, if that is the case, then why is it that people are teaching today? I'll tell you why. It's because people, even though they will not acknowledge there's a difference, they do know that there is a difference. People know today that God is not speaking to men individually apart from His Word, and so they teach the Word of God to people that they might instruct them and build them up. So the fact is that the verses there in 1 John, in relation to us having a supernatural anointing that will teach us all things, those verses are not written to the church, the body of Christ. That is not the doctrine for the church. The Hebrew epistles is doctrine for the Hebrews. And that is manifested when you look at the verses of Scripture in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the first part of Acts. Again, Matthew chapter 10, the Bible says, in verse 17, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors." Excuse me. "You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak." Over in Acts chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, "When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, hear these words." And they go on there and they explain about how that it is through the Holy Ghost that they're doing the things that they're doing. He said he gave... In Acts chapter 4 again. Let me read verse 8 again to you. He says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and peoples and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." So not only were they given the supernatural endowment of knowledge, they were given the ability to heal, and it was all done in accordance with the instructions given them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus Christ said he was going to ascend into heaven and they were going to have a ministry among Israel. And yet, we find contradictory statements made by the Apostle Paul. In relation to us today, we have a manner of being instructed. We have a means whereby we can have wisdom, we can have understanding, and we can have knowledge, but it is not the supernatural endowment of gifts that brings that about. The Apostle Paul outlined some of those in Ephesians chapter 4 that we read a moment ago when he talked about evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But I want you to notice in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, what the Apostle Paul says in relation to how we are perfected today. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Now notice, he says, "and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." You see, if that gift of supernatural knowledge, supernatural anointing of information, whereby you need not to teach any man anything, if that is in effect today in the dispensation of the grace of God, there is no need for the Word of God. And the reason that gift was given unto the apostles is because they did not have the completed Word of God as we do today. Today we have the completed revelation of God Almighty, and it is in the books of the Bible, the Word of God. And Paul said in relation to that, he said, all of that Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Consider how that compares with what he said when he said in Ephesians chapter 4 that he gave apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for what? The perfecting of the saints. And then he says to Timothy that men are perfected, how? By the Word of God. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. That is, everything we need to perform the ministry that God has left us here to perform, we have contained in the Word of God. The Scripture that was given by inspiration of God is profitable for what? Doctrine. That is, so we can know what to believe. For reproof. That is, it brings to light all that we are and all that we can be through the Lord Jesus Christ. For correction. The Word of God will correct our wrong thinking. It will correct our actions if we will allow it to do so. And for instruction in righteousness, and the instruction in righteousness has to do with conveying to us the fact that in our own flesh there is no righteousness. The Bible says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, but we have an imputed righteousness from God Almighty. That is a free gift. It's called in Romans chapter 5, the gift of righteousness. And so, through the Scriptures, we're instructed that we can be perfected by the Word of God. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Let me tell you something. A preacher, without studying the Word of God and without preaching the Word of God, will never be able to accomplish what God desires for him to accomplish. The Bible says that it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So let's say a man gets saved. And he goes over there, and the first thing he reads is 1 John chapter 2, where I read just a few moments ago. And it says, "You need not that any man teach you, but I'm going to give you a supernatural anointing from on high so that you'll know what to speak." That man never studies his Bible, and he gets up in a pulpit and starts to speak, and it becomes very evident very quickly that the man does not know the truth of the Word of God, and he is not able to perfect people because God is not exercising that gift today that he exercised during the time that he was dealing with the nation Israel before there was the completed Word of God. Listen, folks, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it that there are pastors and teachers that have a ministry of teaching in Romans through Philemon, and then say that you need not that any man teach you in 1 John, and say it's all written to the same people. It can't, the different instructions coming from an almighty and holy God cannot be different. They would be the same. And so I would challenge you to consider the things that you've heard here today and understand that there is a difference between the epistles of the Apostle Paul, Romans through Philemon, and the doctrine of the other books in your Bible that relate primarily to the nation Israel. One, the forgiveness of sins. It's different in 1 John than it is in Paul's epistles. The ministry of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it is not today in the dispensation of the grace of God what it was in time past. But now, Paul says, he has ordained that there are pastors and teachers that we might be perfected. He has used his word. He said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And he said it is up to us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. If 1 John chapter 2 is written to the church, the body of Christ, then 2 Timothy 2:15 is meaningless. There is no need to study. But there is a need to study because today we are not operating on the basis of this supernatural ability of having given to us the gift of what to say. It's given to us what to say through the Word of God. And that's how we know what to say, by the Word of God. And we know to say what the Bible says. And he said to rightly divide the Word of truth. So I would encourage you to do that. I appreciate you tuning in today, and I hope that you'll tune in again next week as we continue our study on rightly dividing the Word of Truth and showing you the differences between Paul's ministry and the ministry to the nation Israel. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach me by telephone at 423-847-0768. Pastor Steve Atwood, 847-0768. If you want to write us, our address is 3827 Hickson Pike, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37415. And if you want to go online and look at our website, it is www.understandingyourbible.com. understandingyourbible.com, and at the website there is an email link where you can send us email. I hope that you'll contact us this week, and I hope that you'll tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.